Every November, as the days get shorter and shorter, and the end of the liturgical year approaches, which will be the case in 3 weeks when we enter Advent, the Church has us focus our attention on the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell, so that we might always be prepared, certainly for the first two, death and judgment, and then hopefully be headed for heaven. And this Sunday is no exception. And St. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, writes that the day of the Lord, which we would understand as either the day of our own death or the end of the world, whichever may come first, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The specific controversy that in the church in Thessalonica, which St. Paul addresses in his letter, has to do with the second coming of Christ. And remember again that Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, this was probably the first written part of the New Testament. In other words, the Gospels did not even exist. So Paul is writing to the very first generation of Christians. Most of the early Christians believed that the return of Christ would happen very soon. So they started predicting when he would come. And they used natural phenomena and historical events as indications of when the date might be. And that's in a certain sense, it's a natural human tendency. And we know that there are some Christian groups over the course of history and even today who do the same thing, who give the predictions of exactly when the second coming will take place. And even those early Christians, as is also the case today, in many cases they stopped working and they began neglecting their families. But St. Paul is reminding them, and he's reminding us, that the only thing that we know for sure about the date of Christ's second coming is that we don't know the date of his second coming. And so there's the question of what we do in the meantime. And Paul is teaching the Thessalonians that we have to keep battling evil by building up Christ's kingdom on earth in whatever small way may be in our individual capacity. And St. Paul tells us that the day of the Lord will come unexpectedly. We can't predict it. It's by God's choice that it remains hidden. But since we know that Jesus will return, we are not in the dark. So Paul exhorts us to stay sober and alert, to focus on our task of becoming authentic followers of Jesus Christ, not to fall asleep by giving in to worldly habits of self-indulgence, not to get swept away by the rat race. We need all of us to keep vigil throughout the dark night of this time in which our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, seems long delayed. We need to keep our souls' lamps filled, you might say, with the oil of perseverance and desire for God, virtues that are praised in our first reading from the Book of Wisdom, and then also in the Psalm. I think that one aspect of staying sober and alert means that you and I are always ready to say yes to whatever it is that God asks of us, even if it's not easy, even if it's possibly dangerous, even if we for sure are going to bring suffering upon ourselves. And that's because we can trust in God's plans, in God's ideas. We can trust in God's laws, that they are all far better than our own plans, our own ideas, or anything we can come up with, anything we can invent by way of a personal code of conduct. I think this truth is illustrated in many ways, as in this true story. During World War II, during the Nazi occupation of much of Europe, and there are probably a few of you here who are just old enough to remember that, many Christian families in those occupied countries, they had their faith in God severely tested. In the Netherlands, which you may remember the Nazis occupied in May 1940, the Posma family was living in a small village. And being devout Christians, the family prayed every day for divine intervention. On one evening in March 1943, their pastor paid the family a visit. Their pastor asked them if they would be willing to provide secret refuge to a Jewish girl whom the Nazis would otherwise send to certain death in a concentration camp. The Posma family knew that if they were discovered to be harboring her by the Nazis, they would all be subject to immediate execution. What might you or I have said to this pastor's request for help, knowing that if we did help, our entire family would be endangered? The family said yes, because they knew it was God asking for their help through their pastor. They heard God's call to them in the request of their pastor, and they responded with incredible and courageous generosity. And as a result, this young Jewish girl who they hid in their home for 2 years, she was saved from the concentration camp when the victorious Allies liberated the Netherlands in 1945. So what does all this have to do with you and me this morning? Well, I think perhaps today we may be faced with temptations that are somewhat different from the temptations that were engulfing the first generations of Christians at Thessalonica. As Catholics, we believe that Jesus will come again, but kind of practically, some of us may not be thinking that it will be anytime soon. Almost certainly not in our lifetime, because after all, 2,000 years have passed. And many of us may, in effect, take it for granted that we have many, many more years to enjoy life on this earth. And in the meantime, if that's our way of thinking, we can easily get drawn into all kinds of compromises. Effectively, we can fall asleep. Some of us, including many registered parishioners of this parish, for example, don't even manage to make it to Sunday Mass to give praise and thanksgiving to God. And so it's possible to even lose our focus on Sunday. But Jesus is always trying to get us to wake up, trying to get us to recommit to the mission, to the assignment that he's given us, and to creatively and courageously put to work all the talents that God has given us in the service of our brothers and sisters who are close to us. In one of his homilies a few years ago, Pope Benedict was preaching on why it is that we Christians long for the second coming of Christ. And we do remember, particularly in Advent, we are praying for Christ to come. We're praying, of course, liturgically for the arrival of the celebration of Christmas. But we're at the same time praying that he comes again. And our Holy Father said that we should pray for the return of Jesus, even knowing that his second coming presages the end of the world. Because without the presence of Jesus Christ, a truly just and renewed world will never come. And Pope Benedict ended his homily with this prayer: "Come, Lord, come to your world in the way that you know. Come where there is injustice and violence. Come into the refugee camps of Darfur and North Kivu in so many parts of the world. Come where drugs dominate. Come also among those rich people who have forgotten you and who live only for themselves. Come where you are not known. Come to your world and renew the world of today. Come also into our hearts. Come and renew our lives. Come to our hearts so that we ourselves can be the light of God in your presence. Amen."